time now for NHL Hour with Bill Clement and Commissioner Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Gary Bettman from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok in New York. With me is Bill Clement. We're on XM 204 and NHL.com. The NHL Hour is upon us. We're going to interview Brian Burke. We're going to take your calls. We're going to answer your emails. It's all ahead, so please stay tuned.
Right, the Bare Naked Ladies ushering us in the NHL Hour, obviously commissioned by the commissioner himself, Gary Bevan, because you're a big Bare Naked Ladies fan.
And I do remember, and we've talked about it before, the concert that they did at All-Star in St. Paul in the snow was just spectacular.
I missed it.
Did you? We'll have to bring them back. Actually, I have a tape of it I can show you.
Do you really?
It's kind of bootleg, but I'll share it with you. You can't copy it.
Well, just in case anybody missed where we're handing out bootleg tapes, it's the NHL Hour live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok on NHL Home Ice XM 204 as well as NHL.com. If you'd like to be part of the show, we would like to have you. Gary will answer your questions by phone or email. The phone number is 877-NHL on XM. That's 877-645-6696. Our email address is NHLHour@NHL.com. We'll get to your calls and your emails shortly. I want to get your take on All-Star Weekend. Everybody is pretty well gone through their assessment of what happened in Atlanta and how the entire weekend went. On a scale of 1 to 10, why don't you rate it for us?
Oh, I thought it was very strong. Why do I have to get pinned down on an absolute number?
Because we like that. We like pinning down.
It was certainly better than a 5. It was extraordinarily good. I give nothing a 10 just because that's my temperament. We can always do better. I thought Saturday night with the relay was better and more interesting. I thought the Young Stars game was a tremendous improvement over the prior year in terms of the energy, the excitement, the skill that was shown. And I thought the breakaway, the last event, is an event that has potential. It will get better with time. I think with more thought that the players will have time to give it, with more of an understanding of what's doable and what can be expected, I think we'll see more creativity and excitement. I think we need to make some adjustments. I think we need to be a little more precise on the judging. I think there needs to be, and I know you were one of the judges. Not that you did a bad job.
Wait a minute now.
No.
All of a sudden, the judges got dragged into this.
I think we need to give the judges more standards. I think level of difficulty needs to account for a certain number of points.
Yeah, I tried to reward that.
Right, but I think everybody was doing it a little differently. Creativity, a certain number of points.
Sure.
Execution, a certain number of points, so that as among the judges, I think you were consistent as it related to you, but I think we need to make sure we've got a better set of instructions, and I also think we need to limit the goaltenders, not that I'm picking on them. I think having them come out of the net, having them poke check, I don't think it enhances it, and you know, maybe we bring in a minor league goaltender to abuse on this event as opposed to using one of our own extraordinarily talented goaltenders.
Somebody might surprise you looking for an NHL contract.
And Sunday, I thought, was a fun game, kind of surprising in terms of the way it started and finished. But I think certainly from the reaction in the building, people had a really good time. The surrounding events were great. There was a terrific luncheon celebrating diversity and Willie O'Ree's 50th anniversary of having broken the color barrier in our game on Friday. The parties, everybody likes a party, we're all good. So we had a really good weekend.
The breakaway challenge, I had Daniel Alfredson of the Ottawa Senators skate right up to me on the ice after the event, and he said, you know, I'm not sure our guys, you know, really were up to speed on understanding, but the punchline was, wait till you see what we can do within a couple of years in this event. Have you gotten any direct feedback from the players?
That was the consistent view. In other words, I think in terms of the players understanding what it was doable, not their fault. I think perhaps we in the Players Association, as we developed this together, could have been a little, you know, well, I'm not even sure. I think it was once in the doing. Once Alexander Ovechkin made the move where he tossed the puck in the air and he whirled around,
right,
people got, anything goes. And I think once that barrier was broken, some of the players said, you know what, if anything goes, we're going to really do it. So I think this is an event that has great potential.
I think the players somehow misunderstood and thought that scoring the goal was the idea. You can only get one extra point for scoring the goal. It was actually what happened between the blue line and the paint that is what was rewarded.
Well, but I think instinctively, if you're a player, you know, playing 82 games of the regular season and you've had a long career, the expectation is you get rewarded for scoring a goal. Close is nice. This was a departure in terms of what everybody was used to, which is why I think now that the code has been broken, this event has great potential.
All right. At the All-Star Game, you also announced games in Stockholm and Prague to kick off the 08-09 season, as well as the Victoria Cup. And that was followed by Paul Kelly, the new boss of the Players Association, saying, wait a minute, we haven't approved the games. What was your reaction when our last week guest came with those comments?
I think something got lost in translation on all sides. I spoke to Paul after those comments were made by him, and I don't think it was that the games weren't approved. It's that there are still some things in terms of the logistics that we have to satisfy the Players Association on, but there was never an issue. It was clear, and I was told in advance that we should feel free to announce the games and that the players were on board. And I think part of this is just having our two organizations communicate better with new leadership at the Players Association and a new era of cooperation. I think we're going to get better at doing those things. I think it wasn't as big a deal as it got made out to, and those games are going to be fine.
They're not in jeopardy then.
I don't believe so.
Okay, we're going to get to the callers now. We ask you to keep your comments and your questions brief. We can get to many more of them if you'll help us help you. So go ahead.
Brendan in Toronto, how can I help you? Welcome to XM 204.
Hey, thanks very much, Commish. I'm just wondering, I saw an interview with Scott Gomez the other day, and he said that you played a little rec league hockey yourself. Is that true, or was he just pulling our legs?
I played recreationally when I was a student at Cornell. I don't do it now because it's clear to me that somebody would try to remove my head for sport. I've been passionate about this game longer than people know and longer than I get credit for.
All right, and just one more thing. I thought the All-Star game was pretty good. I thought the stuff on Saturday night was a lot more fun than the game, but I guess the game's just kind of going to be what it is, you know?
Well, you know, that it's a fair point that you raise, and the skill competition takes pieces of the game and lets the players really compete and show their stuff. I don't think anybody will confuse our All-Star game with one of our regular season games or a playoff game, because obviously we don't play it with the same physicality, the All-Star game that is, as the rest. You can't.
No.
And I don't. I'm completely sympathetic with the notion that nobody wants to jeopardize their career in an All-Star game. It's really, if you look at it as an event that's intended to be fun, entertaining, lighthearted, and an opportunity for the NHL family, and in that I include our fans, to celebrate our game and our great players, that's the spirit with which you should view it.
I look at it as a showcase of talent more than I do a game, and I will say this, I've seen every All-Star game for the last 25 years and broadcast the majority of those. That last 6 minutes without a stoppage of play in Atlanta was as good a six-minute stretch of any All-Star game I've seen.
And you're right. It's a display of skill,
yep.
And our guys are incredibly skilled, and they're giving, and it's fun to have the All-Stars gathered in one place to celebrate the game. Why don't we go to Ronald in Ontario? How are you, Ronald? You're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
We're doing good. What about you?
Good. I'm driving, going home to see the wife there for a couple of days. So,
good
All-Star
luck.
Game. Oh, thank you. All-Star game, the game itself was excellent. Couldn't ask for anything better. The skill competition. Every team have their own skill competition. And the NHL should after skill competition, and the best of the crop should be for the skill competition. Because most of the guys that do go for the All-Star game, the game itself, they're the best of the crop, should have the best of the crop for skill competition. Like the hardest shot, I'm sure there's guys out there that shoot 104, 105, 106, but they'll never get to the All-Star game to display it, but they do have the best skill for that.
That's an interesting point.
It's the way it used to be.
Yeah, it's the way it used to be. In the course of the season, I think players, particularly with the great competitive balance we have now, everybody's worried about winning every game. And I think the limited number of distractions we present to the players probably is better. And the other way to look at it is we celebrate with our all-stars, and it's nice to see what the all-stars can do in various challenges to their skill. But it is an interesting point, and it is something that we used to do.
I just want to be the travel agent because that would mean 40 players per conference coming roughly as opposed to 22 or 24.
I'll have to talk to our accountant about that.
Whoa.
John in New York, you're with Bill and Gary on XM 204.
Hey, guys, what's up?
You tell us.
Oh, yeah, Gary, I just wanted to say thanks for doing a super job keeping the Penguins in Pittsburgh last year.
Thank you, but it was the right thing to do. Pittsburgh is a great hockey town, and all that team needed was a new building, and we're delighted one is on the way.
Oh, I just wanted to say the Penguins-Thrasher game last night, there was a goal that was disallowed that really should have been a goal. I don't know if you guys saw the game or saw highlights.
I confess I didn't. In the office in a meeting. If it was done by video replay, I'm pretty sure that Coley Campbell and his guys got it right. Not that they ever make mistakes, but if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I would bet on him getting it right because it's the rare case where they don't get it right on video review. And more importantly, I haven't heard from anybody complaining until now, which leads me to believe it was probably the right call.
Yeah, but they also called Jarkko Ruotsu for he need Kovalchuk, and they threw him out of the game. They gave him a 5-minute major, and I think it was clearly because of his reputation. It was accidental.
Well, whether or not it's accidental, you're still responsible for your conduct on the ice. And you know, I've only seen the clip once briefly. And I'm not surprised they call the 5-minute penalty.
But I'm not surprised that a player's reputation ends up being part of the call. As objective as our refs are, as hard as they try to be objective, reputations precede players. That's been a fact since the beginning of time, and that's human nature for the refs. I don't think they ever say, this guy deserves a penalty because of who he is. But you can't tell me all of them are capable from erasing that from their memory banks.
But I'm going to be a contrarian just for a second. In the tenth of a second they have to make a penalty call, they're looking at the action on the ice. Do you also think they're processing, this looks like a bad play and this is player so-and-so? I'm not so sure. I think they're a little more neutral and blind to any biases than you're giving them credit for.
Let me be a counter-contrarian. Are you saying that the refs are incapable of making a decision with multiple factors involved in a tenth of a second?
No, I'm not. but I think you're escalating it to a level that takes it beyond the standards that we impose upon them. I think you're equating a level of bias that would cause them to have to process that bias in while they're trying to simply judge what they're seeing on the ice. Steve Walkham, chief of staff's instructions are, look at what's going on the ice and react. That's a little inconsistent with your notion that other factors are also playing into it.
I'm calling Kerry Fraser right now. No, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Don't.
We'll get him.
You reach for your waist like that, I thought you were going to pull out a gun. Guy in Washington, D.C., you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
How are you today?
We're great. How are you?
Doing very well. I wanted to give you some paws and claws about the All-Star and just a couple of things, observations.
Sure.
I guess probably the negative I wanted to bring up first is I watched the All-Star competition last year, and I don't know if you remember, but the timing guns didn't work for the fastest skater competition last year.
Yes, I remember that.
And whoever, of course, being an Ovechkin fan, I was furious. But after 2 years, you think maybe you need to find a different production company to get those timing traps working. Because even at the Ace Bailey's thing where the kids participate, they get those things right. There's got to be a way to do that.
You're right. There's no excuse. And we moved from venue to venue. Actually, I think the timing device was right. I think it was the hardest shot that they lost the radar gun on the last shooter. But, you know, we move from city to city, and there's no excuses. I sit there in the stands with steam coming out of my ears, although nobody can see it. But you can watch my jaw clench if you were looking closely, because we should be perfect when we're putting on events like that. Any other questions? I guess not. So then let's go to Jim in San Jose. Jim, you're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204.
Hello there, Gary, and how you doing? I wanted to, first of all, thank you for the salary cap. I mean, as an original Sharks season ticket holder, it was so much needed. I mean, it, like any business, you know, income has got to match the debts, and you did a great job there.
Well, thank you. It was painful to get there. I wish we didn't have to endure what it took. But I think the game is better for it now, as you can see with the health of our franchises and the competitive balance we have.
Absolutely. I've never seen in my lifetime parity like we do in the NHL now. I mean, there's almost nobody that is not within playoff competition. And as a season ticket holder who spent well over $100,000, I certainly appreciate the fact that you tie expenses to revenues.
Well, and the benefit of this as well is the players are our partners in the revenue growth, and as revenues grow, our players share in it. And so everybody's incentivized to do the very best we can for our fans.
We want to thank the callers that are hanging on. We'll get to your calls as soon as we can. Our number again, 877-NHL on XM. And our email address is nhlhour@nhl.com. We'll step out and come back on the NHL Hour, NHL Home Ice, XM 204, and nhl.com.
If you like talking hockey with your friends, you'll love talking hockey with Commissioner Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
It's the best show in the world because you get to request your music when you come back out of break. That was my request, AC/DC. This is the NHL Hour. Bill Clement with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, live from the NHL Store, powered by Reebok at 6th Avenue and 47th Street in New York. And we're pleased to welcome a guest that was one of Gary's lieutenants for about 5 years in the 90s. He was Colin Campbell's predecessor. Now he is the executive vice president and general manager of the defending Stanley Cup champion Anaheim Ducks. He is Brian Burke. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Billy.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good, boss. How you doing?
Good. People get confused by the boss. That's Brian's affectionate term for me. So let's give people a little background on you who may not know it. You went to Providence College. You grew up in Minnesota. You went to Harvard Law School. Why don't you tell people how you wound up at Harvard Law School, of all things? Here you were, you know, a hockey player, had a minor league career. What was the story here?
When I was a senior, I played 4 years at Providence College, and Lou Lamoriello, who was obviously a Hall of Fame caliber general manager with the Devils across the river there, he was our coach. And when I was a senior, I was going down to practice. We used to practice at 3:30 every day. I'd walk down at 2:30, and his secretary came out and said, "Coach wants to see you." And that's never a good thing with Lou. So right away, I'm thinking, okay, well, I wasn't out, but maybe one of the freshmen was, because Ronnie Wilson and I, the coach of the Sharks, we were co-captains together. So I'm thinking, all right, one of the freshmen messed up. So I go to see Louie, and he slides a piece of paper across the desk at me. And it's an application to take the LSAT, the law boards, and he said, this is an application for the LSAT. I talked to your professors. With your grade point average, if you do well on this test, you'll get into Harvard or Yale. So I slid it back across the desk and said, I have no interest in going to law school. And he slid it back, and he said, "You don't understand. That was not a request." So I took him and got into Harvard, just all because Louie cared. And I my plan at that point was to get a graduate degree in history and get into coaching at the college level.
So you graduated from Harvard, you went to work in a law firm, and then you became an agent?
Right. Well, I was practicing. I practiced for 6 years in Boston. I'm still licensed to practice there. And while I was there, I represented athletes and did corporate work. And then in 1987, I was at a reunion of our Calder Cup championship team in Portland, Maine, and Pat Quinn asked me about coming to work for him in Vancouver. So I went to Vancouver in June of 87 as the assistant GM and then was there for 5 years, then 1 year in Hartford as the GM, and then you rescued me in 93, Gary, and I came to work for you. That's why I call you boss.
Did you rescue me or did I rescue you? Okay, so what was the best part of working with me and the worst part?
Well, the best part was, I mean, people are going to think this is a loving on the air, but I've said all this publicly before, and obviously I've had some very harsh disagreements with things at the league level. So the best part was, to me, the 5 years working for you was like going to grad school. I felt I got a master's in business, an MBA, like my daughter's in grad school now. I felt I got that same quality education in 5 years. And you got to study how teams did things. You know, like you got to look at 30 teams and say, this is how they handle sending kids to the minors, and this is how they handle this and that. It's a great test tube as far as going back and running a team. That's why I think Colin Campbell will be successful if he ever goes back and runs a team.
So what was the worst part? Because I really didn't want this to sound like a suck-up question. So what?
Well, it was nothing to do with you. The worst part was the GMs telling you how stupid you were every day. Like, you know, when you suspend a guy, you know, like take Yarko Ruutu. I saw the hit last night. If Coley suspends him, whatever he gives him, and I'm not saying he deserves a suspension, by the way. I don't think he does, but whatever he gives him, the team involved, Pittsburgh will say it's too much, and Atlanta will say it wasn't enough. So you're stupid twice on every one of these. And if it's a French player, you're stupid three times because you get it from both media there. So that's the part that bothered me. And the part that really bothered me was not caring who won the games. I would go to 100-plus games a year and just pray that my officials did well and that I didn't have to suspend anyone. I didn't care about the outcome, which for a guy like me, it drove me nuts.
Well, speaking of the outcome, what was it like in Game 5 of the Finals as the clock was winding down? What thoughts were going through your mind?
Well, the night before, it's interesting, the night before I was tossing and turning, and my wife, Jennifer, said to me, she said, what's the matter with you? I said, we got to get this done. We don't want to go back to Ottawa for a 6, because then there will be a 7. I really believed that if Ottawa had got it back for a 6, we would have had a 7. I don't think they would have lost a Game 6 at home. So I'm tossing and turning, and Jennifer said, these guys will not let you down. This will be over tomorrow. I'm telling you, these guys will not let you down. And even there, until Corey Perry scored with 3 minutes to go, I still was nervous as hell about the outcome. And after he scored, we came downstairs. I remember standing in the runway beside the bench, and you grabbed me, Gary, and shook my hand. And Henry, our owner, was hugging me and yelling, and that's where it sunk in, watching that clock tick down.
Was this something you had dreamed about as a young man? I guess as a child, you probably dreamed about winning the Cup by skating for it. When you were in Harvard Law School, if you ever had any visions of the Cup, that had to be an executive. How did this fit with the life plan you set for yourself?
Well, I never had one. Most of the people that I've known in my life, when I was 18, 19, 21, 22, most of the guys that I knew back then that knew exactly what they wanted to be were pains in the ass anyway. They weren't any fun. They were all on a mission. And I kind of just got as far as I could with each level that I did. I never dreamed of playing pro hockey. I didn't start playing hockey till I was 13. I moved to Minnesota when I was 12. I didn't start playing hockey till I was 13. And for me to, you know, my sixth year, the sixth year I ever played organized hockey, I was playing Division I college hockey at Providence College. So I'm proud of how far I got, even though I never got all the way. But no, to me, I just wanted to get my degree. And then when the Flyers signed me, you know, I thought, well, if I could, you know, get one game in the NHL, it'd be great. And I didn't. And I'm content with the choices I made. I never dreamed in law school. All I wanted to do was graduate. I just went because Louis made me.
So change gears for a second. Scott Niedermeyer, Timo Solani, great players. What's up with the way they played this season?
Well, for me, I think people have – there are two different situations, obviously. Scott Niedermeyer was under contract and wrestled with a very hard decision on whether to come back or not. And we felt he'd earned the time to make that decision and come back, and we're happy that he did. Obviously, we're in a little bit of a tailspin right now, but went on a big tear when he got back. He's an excellent leader, quiet leader, and a great hockey player. Tamu was unrestricted and trying to decide whether he wanted to come back and play. He hasn't played a game yet. I think there'll be some people between Peter Forsberg and Tamu, I think there'll be some people at the league level that will push for a deadline, that guys got to come in earlier if they want to play. We would support that, by the way. But in these two guys' cases, under the current rules, we gave them as much rope as they needed. And fortunately, they're both back playing. Tamu, we're in St. Louis. We're on the baton death march right now with the schedule the league gave us. But We have an 8-game road trip, and we're in St. Louis tomorrow night and then Philly Saturday, which by the way, makes sense because they're so close to one another. You should play back-to-back when you play in St. Louis. You should play the next game in Philly.
Yeah, but after,
I think you might see Tamu in Philly.
After your 8-game road trip, by the way, what's in your building right now, Smarty? And you're home for 7 games.
So, yes, we are.
So doesn't that offset, or you're just unhappy with the schedule? And you can be candid with our listeners.
No, we I like to whine about things anyway, but we provide the dates to the league, and we have PBR in here, I think, and something else. So we blacked out the building, so it's as much our fault as anybody's, but I still like to whine.
Well, to our listeners, you're listening to Brian Burke, the general manager of the Stanley Cup champion Anaheim Ducks. How's hockey doing in Southern California, not just at the NHL level, but at the grassroots level?
Well, I think we're coming up on 50 consecutive sellouts. We've played in 7 playoff rounds in 2 years, and our fan base, I'd put it up against anyone. Our building is as noisy as any building in the National Hockey League. LA, of course, has had a longer history here and a more, a longer chance to put those roots down. But I think we put down pretty deep roots in the time we've been here. We've got a rabid, avid fan base, and things are great. Youth hockey here, I think people would be amazed to learn, is in great shape. A couple California teams have won national age group titles. Last year there were 30 California kids in the Western Hockey League. I think this year there's 42. So, and a number in college hockey as well. So hockey's doing great out here.
You were instrumental when we took the players to the Olympics in Nagano in 98. Olympics, good or bad for us now that you're back at the team?
I want to see us get through the cycle in Vancouver and look at it again. But in general, I'd say we're not getting the bang for the buck we should. I'd like to see the hockey become a summer Olympic sport like they do in basketball, play it in the summer where we can get all the best players without disrupting our season.
By the way, I think that's a fair point, and as I think you know, that's an issue we raised many times with the International Olympic Committee, which fell on deaf ears. The response is always that snow and ice is what marks the Winter Olympics, and that's where hockey, according to them, belongs. We have a date with you and your players and your owners and other executives to go to the White House next week. You looking forward to that, especially a big history buff like you?
Yes, I am, actually. I think it's one of the cool things that happens when you win a championship, and I think it's wonderful that the White House does that. Our players are looking forward to it, and I do think it's a cool thing, and it's even though it's on our franchise record 8-game road trip, in between games against the Islanders and Rangers on our franchise record road trip, we're looking forward to it very much.
Well, you were in the neighborhood. It's not like you're flying in from the West Coast to do this.
You a Democrat or a Republican, Brian?
He doesn't have
I'm a Democrat, either. But we are honored to go to the White House.
You had mentioned one of the things you hated about having the job that Colin Campbell now has is general managers calling you stupid. How many times have you called Coley stupid since you've been back in the trenches?
Well, I haven't called him stupid because I don't think he is. But, I mean, I've emailed him. We've had some heated exchanges over the phone and via email. We're not there should be a rule that we're electronically isolated during games. I mean, it's I'd be embarrassed if Coley ever read on the air some of the stuff I emailed him and Stevie Walker. And I don't think I'm that bad. I very seldom resort to that. But it's embarrassing how immature we all are when our team is involved. So. No, I haven't called him stupid. I don't think Coley is stupid. And, he's been on the stuff we've had. We disagreed with the first pronger suspension in the playoffs last year just because we felt that, Rob Niedermeyer's hit on Holmstrom caused the incident. But, he got suspended 10 days later in the finals, and we didn't say a word. We felt it was warranted.
A couple of quick questions, Brian, before we let you go. Is your middle name really Marilyn, and when's the last time you've spoken to Kevin Lowe?
I haven't spoken to Kevin Lowe in a long time and don't intend to, and my middle name is Paul after my grandfather.
Well, let's go back to the Kevin Lowe question, which I was going to go to. Am I going to have to sit between you and Kevin at the general managers' meetings later this month?
You can sit wherever you want.
Well, no. Am I going to need to?
There would be safer seats, maybe.
Hey, Brian, good luck enduring this road trip, and I'll see you in Washington next week, and thanks for making the time to be with us.
Well, first off, Gary, congratulations. Tomorrow's 15 years. I remember the day it started in our league is infinitely better due to your guidance and leadership. And Billy, why are you letting them diss you for being a judge like that before I come on the air?
Believe me, when the show ends, we're gonna get it on. You know what? I'm gonna provide Gary with a helmet, and he'll keep that to sit between you and Kevin Lowe.
That's right.
All right, you got it.
Thanks, Brian.
Congrats, boss.
Thanks, Brian.
What a great. A great man, and a man that is such a credit to the sport. All of that passion that Brian Burke has, and sometimes he's confrontational, but boy, loyal guy, isn't he, Gary?
He's the best. He's done a great job with every franchise he's been with. This obviously sounds like a mutual admiration society, but he gives it his all, and that's all that anybody can ask for anybody at any level, player on the ice, executive off the ice, when you're part of this game.
We appreciate everybody staying on hold. We're going to step out and come back and get to your calls and your emails all on the NHL Hour, NHL Home Ice, XM204, and NHL.com. Not the song to follow Mike Sillinger around the National Hockey League, although he's had a lot of stops. He's a rambling man. This is the NHL Hour. We're going to get back to your questions. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, will answer your questions and emails. Our phone number, 877-NHL on XM. The email address, nhlhour@nhl.com. Before we get to the questions, a reminder that, yeah, we all know that Sunday is a football day, the Super Bowl, but you can get your heart started beating in the afternoon with some great hockey on NBC in the U.S. and on CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. It's an original six matchup. The New York Rangers, who desperately need the points, taking on the Montreal Canadiens, who are one of the hottest teams in the NHL right now. It's live at 2 Eastern. You can check your local listings for the station and the time in your area. Now, we will get back to the calls, and we appreciate everybody's patience.
Tim in Pittsburgh, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
Hey, I just want a question for you. Big Pittsburgh fan, did see the Rutu thing, but besides all that, I know Rutu has his own way of doing things on the ice. But what I want to know was, I know in the NHL, the coaches have the ability to, ask for a play to be reviewed. Has the NHL ever thought about doing such a thing for different calls?
The fact of the matter is, based on the way our game is played, the speed at which it's played, the fact that it's virtually nonstop action, it's not really possible or feasible without disrupting the game. They do it in the NFL. You lose a timeout, but they play for 5 or 6 seconds, and then they stop for 30 or 45 seconds. We think it would be too disruptive to the game. We do think the use for which we make of replay, namely whether or not a goal was scored, the puck went in the net, how did it get in, we think that's the best use in terms of the context of our game. And frankly, you really can't use video replay on judgment calls. And frankly, right, I don't think the NFL does either. Whether or not you're in bounds or out of bounds, but whether or not something was a penalty is not something I believe the NFL uses replay for either. It just would disrupt the game. And frankly, camera angles can be deceptive. I think we've got it right in terms of how we use video replay. And in fact, when the other leagues started their video replay, they came to look at how we did it, because the view is, for our game, we do it about as well as you can do it. And we're right, as we discussed before, overwhelmingly, not perfect, but the margin of mistake is pretty low, and that's the way we like to keep
and
it.
And anything that pushes us back to what I call the dark days of our league, which is when every potential skate in the crease was reviewed and took the air out of the balloon in every building.
It's too disruptive,
yeah,
to the
absolutely
flow. You're absolutely right. Joel in Anaheim, you're on XM 204, and you just missed your general manager.
Hello.
Hey, Joel.
I have a question on the marking on the ice, the advertised markings on the ice.
Okay.
Every time I'd like to introduce some friends of mine to the hockey, and their question is always, why is all those markings on the ice? It's very hard to see the puck anyway, And especially the dark markings. Some of them have blacks in them, you know, and also the center ice logo. Some of them are so big and black marking, you can hardly see the puck.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. It's not a complaint I hear very often. And if you look at the ice in leagues in Europe, ours looks barren compared to what you see in some other places in the world. We strictly regulate what can be put on the ice, the size of the markings, where they're located, and we don't get very many complaints about it, and it does help pay the bills.
Why are they there? Revenue.
It helps to pay the bills. Yeah. Pete in Northern Virginia, you're on XM204. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I'm proud to be talking to you for a second time.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I have actually a couple suggestions as opposed to questions. The first one I can't take credit for. It was one of the guys there on XM had mentioned something about having the All-Star game be the outdoor game, and I thought that was a wonderful idea. My other suggestion would be to, for the goalies, for the breakaway competition, maybe instead of using a minor leaguer, as the commissioner suggested, maybe a celebrity goalie. And it would have to be a celebrity everybody loves to hate, you know, the kind I'm talking about. I'll listen for your comments off the air.
Thank you for your comments. With respect to the All-Star game being an outdoor game, we're still debriefing off of the Winter Classic, which was a great event for us, and we're looking at what the possibilities are for what's next, although I think one of the things that made the Winter Classic as good as it was, as compelling as it was the fact that it was a regular season game, and it counted in the standings, which was a testament to both teams, the Sabres and the Penguins, that they were prepared to do it. With respect to using a celebrity goalie, I think that's an advancement over my initial suggestion that maybe we use a minor league goalie, but I think we're both consistent on the point that maybe we shouldn't be using an NHL goalie, and that's something that we're going to be looking at before we do the event next year at our All-Star festivities in Montreal.
What about not using a goalie at all? Having some kind of shooter-tooter with an opening, you get an extra point if you get it in the...
We've talked about that. We've talked about putting targets in.
Yeah.
We talked about putting in a cutout goalie. I think that's something we need to give more thought to, talk to the players and the Players Association about. Clearly, we're on to something that we can have a lot of fun with. The question is how to make it better.
Yeah, it created quite a buzz. I mean, you were happy with the buzz, were you not?
The buzz was great. Yeah. You know, if Ovechkin scores on the flip up in the air and the wraparound, it probably gets 4 million hits on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it will come. This is an event that has potential. Let's see. Mark in Dallas. Welcome to XM204.
Thank you, guys. I've got a couple of questions. One is about realignment. I wanted to ask you how that works, if that's a Board of Governors decision, a league decision, and if it's and specifically concerning the Dallas Stars playing in the Pacific Division as opposed to possibly the Central Division. Is that something that is under consideration at any point, or does it rely upon expansion and then realignment at that time?
Well, it's a good question. League decisions are Board of Governors decisions, and the Board of Governors would have to vote to change alignment. At the present time, while I understand the desire of both the management and the fans of the Dallas Stars to be in the Central Division, that would require us to throw somebody out of the Central Division and move them further west, and there haven't been any volunteers to do that. My guess is if we're going to consider realignment, it will be in the context of a franchise relocation or expansion, neither of which we're planning to do right now, because in that context, we might have a different footprint and a different map. But in the final analysis, it is a decision of the Board of Governors to do it, and we are sympathetic to the fact that the Stars play a lot of their road games later at night for TV purposes. But there's nothing we can do about it. We get the same question from a lot of Red Wing fans saying we'd like to be in the East. Well, I think a lot of teams in the West would prefer the Red Wings not be in the East. And again, you'd need a team in the East to agree to move to the West. And interestingly enough, if I remember the map correctly, the Red Wings aren't the team furthest east that's in the Western Conference. The Columbus Blue Jackets are. But it is what it is, and at least for the time being, I don't foresee a change. Ed in Chicago, you're on XM204. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Couple questions for you, Mr. Commissioner. First of all, I think you've done a great job. I've been a hockey fan going back to 1968, Old Eastern League. Anyway, I have a question about center ice. I've been a subscriber since I've had satellite for over 10 years now, and I see a disturbing trend, and I just don't know what the reason is. I have Dish Network right now, and they seem to cut in extra commercials a lot of times. In fact, I sent them an email earlier today where when the play comes back to live action, and I've tracked this over the last couple of weeks, there's, you know, sometimes only 30 seconds into the play. Two other occasions it was over a minute. So I don't know if they're trying to squeeze some extra revenue there locally or what, but as an avid fan, you know, and this is always in the third period on top of it, you don't want to see, you know, you don't want to miss any of the action. And I was just wondering if that's something that is allowable on their end or...
We have a fixed format for our commercials. There are the three 100-second timeouts, which come after the 6-minute mark, the 10-minute mark, and the 14-minute mark. You shouldn't be missing any action. This is the first that I'm hearing about it, and I will check into it and find out what the story is.
Okay, well, I did forward, thank God for Google, maybe not for you guys, but I was able to find a couple NHL emails, so I CC'd you guys on the email as well. So, and I've seen this, as I mentioned, three times over the last couple of weeks on three different games.
Do me a favor, send a copy of the email, forward another copy to Jody Shapiro, who runs these things for us, jshapiro@nhl.com. And if you forward it to him, telling him you're doing it at my request, we can get you a prompter answer.
Okay, jshapiro@nhl.com. And if I may, I have a couple other things.
Sure, go ahead.
Thanks. Wayne Gretzky, I know you guys, you know, retired his number 99. No one will ever wear it again in the NHL, which as a huge Gretzky fan, I thought was a tremendous honor and a well-deserved honor. But I'm a little surprised it doesn't actually hang in any of the arenas other than, of course, L.A. and Edmonton. Is that something you guys have considered, maybe using just NHL colors and with his years of service, so to speak, and the number 99?
Well, we knew that the places where he played significant amounts of his career would hang his number from the rafters, Edmonton and Los Angeles. And the respect that we paid to him as a league, which he certainly deserved, was that nobody would wear the number again. Beyond that, what teams hang in their building is really a team choice. But I think the fact that nobody's going to wear that number again is the highest form of praise and respect that we can pay to the great one. Let's go to Eric in Philadelphia. Welcome to XM204.
Great, thanks. Hey, Commissioner. Hey, Bill. Big Flyers fan, heading to the Flyers game tonight. Just came home to pick up my 9-year-old daughter, who's very excited to go. I think that what you've done in the past couple years with the NHL has been awesome. I was 12 years old when the Flyers won their cup, and I was at the Stanley Cup games those years, and I'm enjoying having my children come up and watch the games with me as well.
Isn't that what it's all about, passing sports on from generation to generation? I love calls like that.
It's been great. It really has. And Bill, I'm thrilled that you're back in Philadelphia on the air here.
Thank you.
Love watching you there. Anyway, I love the All-Star Weekend. I watch as much of it as I could on television. I'd love to see some of the younger stars, not even the NHL All-Stars, but the young stars of the league, take part in the skills competition as well. I think that the more face time you give them will give us, the fans, a much better view of the whole league.
That's an interesting.
I want to hear you comment on that.
I think that's a good suggestion. I'm going to take it back to the group that plans this weekend, plans the events, and see what the result is after we kick it around. But I like the point that it gives the young stars more exposure because we have a great crop of young stars, perhaps the best we've ever had. And the more fans get to know who these players are, the more interest they're going to have in following the game. So it's a pretty good suggestion. I don't know that we can make it a reality for a whole host of reasons that I won't bore you with, but it is something we're going to talk about.
Before we go, Gary, can we go back to that? The one caller about realignment, I had a question about expansion that I've been meaning to ask you for the last 4 weeks. Does it Will the NHL ever expand just one franchise, or does it make – it makes far more sense for two. Would the NHL expand to just one more franchise, or would it necessarily be automatically two?
That is a great question for which I have no answer because we're not thinking about expansion. If the question is, do you have to do it in multiples of two because of the logistical problems with the schedule and number of times team plays each other, you can deal with that. I think one of the other leagues for a while had an odd number of teams. You can deal with it. It's not simple. It results in convoluted scheduling, but I don't know. If we decided we were going to expand and we only wanted to do one team, I suppose there would be nothing to stop us from doing it. But it's not something that's front burner for us right now. I'm glad you sat on that for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I still didn't get an answer. Maybe next week we're going to try. We hope you join us again next week.
I gave you an answer.
I know, but you just didn't like it. You're right. It wasn't the answer I was looking for. We're going to see you next week, hopefully at 4 Eastern, right here on the NHL Hour. Coming up next, it's In the Slot with Phil Esposito and Jim Taddy. Sure hope you have a great week of hockey. There are some fantastic games as we get down to crunch time. We'll look for you at 4 Eastern right here on the NHL Hour next Thursday.